गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनाम् उपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्तुतिभिस्सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll do our continuing the Dhyasanam today. You can sit yourself comfortably. You can take a few long deep breaths. It's comfortable, relaxed. I take time to look at myself very closely. We discussed one of the main things that happens, my view of myself, the world, mostly of myself is the more important one, is superimposition, adhyasa. Ideas are superimposed upon myself. Two main ways that I do this adhyasa superimposition is ahamidam, I am this, and idam mama, this is mine. So this is something I have to look into very closely. I say, I am this. I am this role. This role I play as an employee, as a friend, as a parent, as related to anybody. This is just relative. It's not essentially me. If that role is there or not, I'm still the same one. So how can that be essentially me? Then I identify with the body. I am this body. With this in this age, with so much else connected to it, gender and race and age and religion and many, many other things I add to it. But if I take a little while and look a little closer, I'm aware of the body. It's Since I am aware of the body, I am subject, and body is the object. I'm the conscious being. The object is not the conscious being. Object is always jardam, insentient. Since I'm aware of the body, I'm the awareful element. The body is the object of my experience. Then I also identify with my mind. Thoughts come and go due to the different vasanas, samskaras, my habits and tendencies. The energy of the thought goes here and there. The moment the thought comes, I identify with it. The moment the emotion bubbles up, I identify with it. But am I that thought, or am I the one who is aware of the thought? Am I the emotion, or the one in whose light the emotion is perceived? So this is one of the two forms, the adhyasa, is there, that I superimpose ideas on myself. I am, I know, I am satchit, I am and I know. This is immediate knowledge, aparoksha jnanam. I need to do nothing to be aware of this. I need not think. No habit is involved. Identifying with anything else, then it isn't the immediate knowledge. Some habit is involved that over time I got used to, and I started identifying with roles, with the body, with the mind. And then once I identify with something, then its attributes, its limitations, then also become part of me, also get superimposed on me. Limitation of the body. The health or ill health of the body. The state of mind, etc. Then I'll say, okay, the body is my vehicle. I'm not the body, it's my body. Through this body, I can do all these activities. I can do service, or I can do things in the world and enjoy the world. But what makes this body mine? The whole earth is brought to light by the light of the sun. But the sun doesn't say those trees, those houses, the rivers are mine. Just in its light, they're perceivable. within the light of awareness, the body is perceived. There's no actual connection. Just as the light on the object, it's not connected to it. There's no connection between I, the awareness, the awareful being, and this body. The connection is due to avidya, the ignorance, the lack of inquiry. Same with the mind. I say I am thoughtful. I am, actually sorry, I am aware of this mind, is my mind. This is my tool. Today my mind is more foggy. My mind. Today my mind is more clear. Today my mind is busy. There was a good meditation, my mind was peaceful. So I say it's my mind. Similarly, what connects I, the awareful being, in the mind? I'm constantly there, I'm the awareful being, unchanging. Waves of the mind come and go without affecting me. If I was connected to in some way, then the changes in the mind would also affect me. Just as the original sun is not touched by the movement of the water, which affects the reflection, then I, the awareful being, do not really come in touch with this mind. Shri Krishna in the Gita, he says, Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetram Abhidiyate. This body, meaning this gross body, the subtle body, this one is the field of experience. He goes on to say, and I, the conscious being, am the Kshetragya, the one who's aware of the field. So I, the conscious being, am the light of lights. Within my light, within the awareness, the body is experienced, mind is experienced. But I don't really come in touch with them. I cannot claim them as, I don't claim them as I or mine. We claim this without inquiring, without really inquiring into this. If I really inquire into, then I will not find the connection. Something that limits me to the body-mind. Only seemingly so. I'm the conscious being. Where do I start? Where do I end? When do I start? When do I end? There's no question about this. Only the reflection within the koshas, within body and mind, this one, then the question comes up. But just I, the pure consciousness, there's no question about this. Simply I am and I know. So now after our small detour, we went through some of the verses, the Manaso Lasa, we're back to the main text, Dakshinamurti Stotram, so we're in verse 9. So let's chant this one. We'll do it part by part, a little bit of time first, then in larger chunks. So let's chant it. Puram Bhamsya Nalo nilom bara Maharnato Himam shufpuman Ityabhati Chara charatmakam Idam yasyeva murtyashtakam nanyat kinchana vidyate vimrishatam yasmat Parasmad vibhoho Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. So do part by part. Bhuram Bhansyanalo Nilom Baharmaha. Actually, that's there is something there, if we break it there, it breaks in the middle of the word. So somebody who knows the Sanskrit will tell me, oh, you made a mistake, you can't break it there. So if you break it a little before or after. Bhuram bhamsya nilom nilo, sorry. Bhuram syanalo nilom bahara. Maharanato himam shufpuman. Itya bhati chara charat makamidam yasyeva murtyashtakam nanyat kinchana vidyate vimrishatam yasmat parasmat vibhoho Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. I'm used to chanting it through, so to break it, I'm not used to. So some mistakes will come here and there, so sorry about that when it happens. So it says here, the universe, consisting of both the moving and non-moving, is indeed shining as none other than the manifestation of the Lord in eight forms, namely earth, waters, fire, wind, space, the sun, the moon, and the person. In the vision of those who have a discerning faculty, there is nothing other than the Supreme Lord who is all-pervading. The Lord is in the form of an incarnation of the teacher, Sri Dakshinamurti, my prostrations unto him. So the previous verse was talking about Maya, and then we discussed so much about Maya. So now it happens, okay, how do you overcome Maya then? What do we do? So of course, we're doing the inquiry, but one thing that helps very much to loosen the grasp of Maya is upasana. The upasana, this is, if you want to say mental worship, you can say like this, the attitude. So this is what's very helpful. What happens is I have an outlook, and upasana is for changing the outlook, loosening it up, making it more flexible. We do asanas with the body to make the body more flexible, right? What about the mind? Like this. The mind needs to also be more flexible, more expansive. So in upasana, upa-asana, it's abiding near, so abiding closer to the Lord, closer to Ishvara. This is the idea. Now what happens is upasana, then there can be time where you do your worship meditation regularly. This is one way. Every morning you go, you meditate, you know, you meditate on certain form or a certain idea of the God like this. You're doing some upasana, you bring yourself close to that. So this is one thing. But then other one is not limited to time and place, but it's the attitude with which I observe things, how I observe things, how I interact with everything. What is my outlook on everything? This one is a more expansive one and isn't limited to the time and place. So this attitude is very important. The other one is also perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly good to do. But then what about the rest of the time? Where's my mind at, like this? So this is is the idea. Now in upasana, of course, what happens is I can take a certain form, focus on that. A lot of different forms in religion use this because an easier way, first of all, and also then, but what happens then, of course, is then I end up just connecting that form as this is the form of the God. There are people that I've heard this from people of older generation in India, that in their village is one temple, Shiva temple. But then after some time, then some people get together and make the Vishnu temple. Because there's art of the temple, why do you need? No, because I like Lord Vishnu, I don't like Lord Shiva. You know, temple's temple, what difference? What, you know, you go there in order to help to remind you like this. So why is it needed to have a different one? Like this. And in traditional temples is the main deity. There'll be some other small shrines with the main one. But what happens is here now in the Bay Area, a lot of the temples have many of them, many big shrines, because want to cater to everybody, because now you have there, you know, okay, if you have a city of, if you go to India, a few 100,000 people, yes, if you have a temple with a certain deity, yeah, you're going to have thousands of people coming. But here, there's a smaller group to come, so cater to everybody. Bring everybody in like this. But in any case, so that's one way. But then one has to expand the vision. Expand the vision. What is it really pointing at? What is behind? More than that. Now, here's a very interesting thing. When people get caught up just in the form, this is a... What happens for a good example for this is Ganga, right? Ganga, considered holiest river. And so people will go and there's a temple of Ma Ganga, right? Originally, Ganga means is the river itself is seen. The river itself is seen. This is manifestation of divine. But then, since that's manifestation of divine, slowly over time, Ma Ganga, it's Nadi. Nadi is feminine, so it's mother goddess. And so there's some... Slowly, then over the time. They say she looks like this. Her vehicle is a crocodile. They've got a, you know, we have our vehicles. The gods have to have their vehicles. Each one has theirs. So, and she holds this in this hand, this in that hand. So then they make the temple. Then people go worship Ma Ganga in the temple. And then all the garbage that's left in this will throw in the river. So, so it's the original and the more expansive vision is gone, just that limited. And pushing the queue and everything to try to go into the temple, so important to see for a few moments when the original manifestation right there. And so in this way, this is, people do still have reverence, they do bath and Ganga, everything, but still, that's the more important. So this is what happens slowly with different kinds of worship. It gets slowly removed because what happens is the vision of the rishis is there to see the God in nature, to see the God in through everything. And then slowly it gets degraded into a certain forms and certain rituals. And then it gets boxed in this. So in the end, instead of making something more expansive, it can make something more limited. This is what happens. And that's an unfortunate thing, happens, you know, throughout the world we see it. But in any case, so really upasana to expand our vision, not to limit it. And one thing, when any worship, anything you do regularly like this, you have to be very aware. Repetition, the good thing about repetition, you know, you have a time, place, you know, a way to do it and everything, so good. But on the other hand, what you have to be very careful is that becomes mechanical then. Mechanical, and then what's, you know, where does it really take you? What is it really doing? So that's something one has to be aware of, not to just get caught up in that. And then the vision should be expanded in that way. So here, so then expanded to see in and do everything. So from last week, we mentioned from Eka Rupa Ishwara, from the God having one form that I worship and use, which is a way just for earlier on for some people to learn how to keep the attention, have some idea of the God, there's something greater. Then afterwards to see that it's Aneka Rupa, it's in and through many forms. Then afterwards, Arupa Ishwara, formless. When you get to formless, then formless, the only way you can be with formless is you have to be formless. Because how can you with the form connect to formless? It doesn't work like this. So the Aneka Rupa, seeing the God in it through everything to sensitize the mind, make it more subtle. And then slowly, when formless, there's only Satchit is formless. Anything else will still, without any form, anything, then there's not you and that. There just is that. Because I'm aware of the form, to say I'm aware of the formless, meaning I'm putting some sort of quality on the formless, that's not formless anymore. Now it has some sort of attribute. So that's why Nirguna Ishwara, without any qualities, without Vedanta, you can't get to it. It can only be by inquiry like this. It can only be you. You can't be separate from it like this. So in any case, here talking about the middle ground in and through everything like this. To see the God is one in and through everything. So what happens then is when you're saying in and through everything, you need to take some sample set in order to, you know, you can't see, okay, in and through everything, see, is it in this, is it in this, is it in this. So first of all, the five elements are taken because that's the building block of everything. If the building blocks of everything are that, then what? Right? Like, everything here, all the material here we say are made out of the atoms, right? Out of electrons, protons, neutrons. Everything, because we know everything is made out of this. So we don't have a question about that. We don't have a question because science is saying like this. Now what happens is when we say everything is made out of these five elements, everything, solidity, liquidity, energy or heat, gas and space, everything's made out of these ones. So each one of these is manifestation of Ishvara. the meaning, the building block of everything is that. And when we discuss actually the evolution of the world, how it created, so from the Brahman, right, from Brahman through Maya, then first space comes into being, space appears. You need the space in order to have everything, to have anything. You need the stage to do it. Now what happens is, when you go to sleep, first Maya Shakti Avidya is there covering your vision, and then once it covers, then you can mistake for something else. So then the space can be there. Then from that, once you have something other than you, there's space. Now everything else can come from that. So movement in there has to be, so the air is going to come. Then energy or some temperature, this fire, heat will come. Then a little more solidifying liquid will be there. And then more solid material, then the earth will come like this. So all these are the building blocks. Everything's made out of these. So we say, okay, so everything's made out of the one Ishvara. See, the Ishvara in all of these things. And actually, the older, in older Vedic ways of seeing, and I would guess in other places in the world as well, other visions, these are the original altars looked at. Now turn more to the Puranic deities, Rama and Krishna and Shiva, etc. But older time, this was it. You know, river is worshipped and fire is worshipped and the earth is worshipped still. Before you're going to build a house, Bhumi Puja, do a puja to the ground, sorry, and everything. Before there are people before they, when they get up, there's a prayer they say before they'll step on Mother Earth. So, you know, thank you for supporting, sorry, I have to step on you. So all these things are still, a little bit is still there, but seeing this. So this is just saying the Bhuta. See the Ishvara in the Mahabhutas, that which everything is made out of. So this is one thing. The whole, it's all consisting of Ishvara, like this. Very good. So it's all Mahabhutas. Now, Bhutas are the elements. Bhautika are elementals. Elementals made out of the elements. You have to take them, mix them, and make things out of them. This is what happens. So in order to represent Bhautikas, it took two of those that stand out the most in our lives, which is the sun and moon, like this. So sun and moon are brought up. Now, we also see what these are connecting and made, the Bhuta, Mahabhutas are connecting, making the whole world made of that. That's also manifestation of Ishvara, like this. So see that also as the Ishvara, so the original elements, and elementals, Bhautikas, everything made out of the Mahabhutas, like this. Now, the moment you take the element, you take also the moon and the sun, one other thing that comes into place, because space has already come, right? Akasha, like this, that started. But now, when you take the moon and the sun, also you have one other element that comes into being, is time is obviously there. Take them away, where's your time? So where's the time coming from? Also from Ishvara. Space, we already said some Ishvara, now time too. So space and time, also manifestation of that, like this. So then you have Bhuta Prapancha, the made out of the Bhutas, the manifestation from that. You have the Bhautikas, the all the elements in this. Now, one other thing is added to this as well. Here, Puman, the Jiva. The Jiva is there, meaning the conscious being. Because actually, when you go and you worship any deity of any kind, without you doing that, without the conscious being there, where's the deity? Where's the worship? It needs the conscious being. This world is experienced. Without the conscious being experiencing, where is it? It's like when you have a movie, if nobody watches it, is there a story happening? There's no story. So the conscious being is what makes it manifest. Without the conscious being, the rest won't be there. So the drishyam can't stand alone. Drishyam needs the drik behind it. Without the conscious being, nothing. There is nothing to. Nothing there for it, like this. So here then, this is why also the individual is put there. So this is interesting with this Shri Dakshinamurti, the deity itself. The deity itself doesn't stand without the devotee, without the individual too. And actually Puman, this is important point here. Puman is the conscious being. Now, the conscious being, when taken, is isolated from the rest, then I have samsara. There's me and my world, and I'm separate from the world, and I'm struggling, and all of this goes on and on. So when taken is something separate. But the whole idea of upasana also is to, this upasana specifically, then slowly in order to loosen the separation, because I say, okay, all the material universe is made out of the Ishvara. So it is my body something separate, right? Annamaya is made out of the food, everything here. Pranamaya made out of universal energy. How is it separate? So then it loosens the idea that this body is something separate. The whole thing manifestation of the one Ishvara. Manifesting one Ishvara, so how can this body be separate? Out of habit I hold is something separate, like the wave thinking it's separate from the ocean. But how can this wave be separate from the ocean? Can you take this body and, you know, separate from the world and keep it, right? You can't. It's not possible. So it's part and parcel of the whole thing. So that which is behind all the material of the world is behind this body too. This body is part of that too. So how can it be taken as something separate? It's an idea that it's separate, but how can it be? It can't really be, right? How I keep it as separate out of habit, but where will it be? They said it came from, you know, dust to dust. It's dust from the beginning, like this. So this helps to loosen that. So there is one Virat, right? As waker, I'm the Vishwa, and I'm waker. Virat is the totality, the Ishvara as the whole manifest physical universe. So this Vishwa, this individual, physical individual, can't be separate from Virat. There's not, Virat includes it, like this. So not something separable. Then also in the mental level, in the mind, universal mind, I say I'm the dreamer, the thinker, this, which is Taijasa. But then there is the Hiranyagarbha, right? Universal mind. How is my mind functions according to certain universal laws? That's why people can understand psychology, because there are certain universal laws how it functions. That's how we can have an education system, because we can see how we can slowly teach sciences and language and many, many other things, because the mind works according to certain principles. It's a universal thing. So it's also, there are certain rules that govern the universe. There's the one behind all the rules. The whole rule, the laws behind the universe are a manifestation of Ishvara. So this mind is also part of that. Not something separate, not something different. So how can this mind be something different? Again, it's like the wave being different from everything else. So this, in the individual, the more it's separated from, the more samsara is there. The more that separation is loosened, the less I feel that different, that separation. So literally the upasana to slowly, slowly eat away at the individual, loosen the idea of this individual. More loosened, easier for me to look into it, then easier for me to inquire into it. If I have a very strong idea about myself, no, I'm born in this place, and this place, you know. So I have a strong ego, I'm from this place, or from this religion, or from this background, or from these ideals, then that strong identity, how am I going to look beyond it? Very hard to look beyond it. So this, to loosen it up, and then I can look at it a little more clearly. When it's loosened up, much easier to look clear. Then there's a Dirikdrishya, right? There's Dirikdrishya, that's it. There's observer, observed, finished. Then, once you have that, then, you know, much easier to see. Then Dirikdrishya, Dirik stands on its own. Consciousness, observer, consciousness stands on, always there. The observed without being observed, you know, just momentary, comes and goes. Without it being observed, how can it stand? So then, the drisho, very soon we can see it's not something that stands on its own. It depends on the drik. Experience depends on the, it has to be conscious being behind. So that already gets into the Vedantic part. But it's much easier to see than approach it if I've loosened up like this. So slowly to eat away and make the individual more flexible, make it, you know, less of something rigid with rigid edges, and then much easier to see through. So this is what the upasana is for here. So here in the verse says, Bhuhu, Bhuhu is the earth. Ambhamsi, Ambhamsi is the waters. In Vedic, water is usually put as plurals, like apaha. Apaha, the word is plural, waters. So here, waters. It's not, they keep it like this. Then anala, anala is the fire. One reason fire is used as worship, and fire is seen at agni as the, actually agni, and then you have ignite. So same root. So agni, why it's used to worship is it's said to be the middleman, right? You give to agni and then goes to what you offer goes to the gods. Why? Because it goes from formful to formless. You offer something and the fire goes from form, becomes formless. So now it's been given to the devatas, to the gods you can't see. So it has to go formless like this. Very interesting, like this. And anala, it's analam. Alam is enough. Never has enough. No matter what you keep feeding, it'll still burn away. Like this. So keep burning and burn no matter what. And so it's universal principle always there. Because no matter what, the fire is always ready to burn. It's just the right conditions, it'll manifest. So it's not that it's sitting in one place or the other. Just the conditions have to be and it's there. So this is Agni. And then you have, that's Anala, Anila. Anila is the wind, air, Vayu. Vayu, the air. Anila meaning it doesn't have an address. Doesn't have a place of its own, so it's everywhere, like this. And prana upasana, pranayama's prana upasana, see that the energy within me that I'm breathing brings me to life, the life behind me, right? And this same prana, the life behind me, is the life behind you. It's life behind all the animals, all the plants, same prana, same energy. So it's a really wonderful. You just look at this and then you see just like the one energy behind all the houses. Tomorrow, when everything becomes solarized, the one sun behind the energy in all our houses. Now it's not as obvious. It is all coming from the sun. But when it gets to this, how amazing. Like this. The one wind behind all the turbines, all the energy there. So one energy behind all of us in this way. Now this upasana here, Characharatmakamidam, within moving and unmoving, meaning conscious and the conscious beings and sentient beings and non-sentient, which is even a greater vision just behind sentient. One can start with the sentient, like this, that the same principle, same consciousness is in and through every living being. And you see living being, you know it's conscious. You know there's some principle there which is beyond just this limited. So that one conscious principle is manifest in all people, all animals. You go to all plants as well, you can see. So that's where one can start from that too. Here it's giving more expansive. It's not just that it's in the insentient as well. At first we see one, and then also we have to see beyond that too. So anila, ambara, then afterwards the space. Ambara also means to envelop, the clothing. So digambara, this Lord Shiva, they say digambara, he is enveloped by the space, his cloth is the space. Or we also say in the Taittiriya, aka, shashariram, brahma, what is the sharira, where, if you want a physical, what is the physical body of the god? Okay, the skin is going to be the space. What an idea. Then that one, the whole universe is just that, like this, in this way. Nice thing with the water, with water worship. Traditionally, India people go to the river, to the bathing ghat, like this, the tank of water, right? Okay. What happens is when you go, you immerse yourself in it. You don't just take and pour it on you, but you immerse yourself. So you're totally immersed in the water, meaning you're totally immersed yourself in the totality, like this. So this is in the water, but then when you get to the space, you say, now immerse myself in the space. The whole space, immerse in the whole space. Immerse your mind in the whole space. Where's your limitation? The whole space, like this. Meditation space, most subtle from all of these, and most expansive. Really, really wonderful. Because we looked at a little bit, when you look at the space, slowly, slowly see, well, where's the space? It's not outside of you, because you don't sense it with the senses, only with the mind, meaning it's not outside. And interesting, everything else is within the space. How can it be outside of me? Where's inside outside then, when you're looking, when you really see, think of the space? Then you see, well, the objects you say are outside, they're in the space, but that space isn't something outside. There's not, how can you say there's space outside? It's in the mind, the space. Not something you sense with the senses. So where is in and out? Where am I, and where is the totality? So as you look into these slowly, slowly then, two, see there's the one behind the all, like this, one in through the all. And that's why Ambara Maharanataha, that's why we couldn't break in the middle, Maharanataha is the master of the day, right? Who is the lord of the day? Is the sun. So, and Himam Shuhu is the moon. And then Puman, the conscious being, the jiva, like this. Ityabhati, in this way, it shines like this. How does he say here in his abhati? It is shining. Charatmakam, in the moving, unmoving, sentient, non-sentient. Idam, all of this whole world. Yasya eva murti ashtakam, that one, that Sri Dakshinamurti has this eightfold murti. Different ways people break it into different numbers, right? Here we have these eight. Somebody says, no, they're 36 tattvas, they're 24. It's kind of like... It's a way just to simplify to see, but then you have to see the vision, it's in and through everything. That's the important thing. You see the one in everything. Divide the everything to many or not. How many is it gonna be? You have the whole, right? If somebody makes the frame for the house, you put different walls in and break it up into pieces. Somebody breaks their one into four rooms, somebody keeps one big room, some this still the same space inside like this. So that's not what's going to really make the difference. So I guess Eva Murti Ashtakam, that one, that Sri Dakshinamurti has this one, can be seen in this eightfold manner. Na anyat kinchana, nothing else, vidyate, is no, nothing else exists. Vimirshatam, for who? For the viveki, for somebody who has the proper discrimination, right? One who sees, and also one who is ready to look beyond, to have this discrimination, one has to be ready to look beyond just the tangible. Because it takes a lot to look beyond it, not just to get caught in the surface things. And surface here is quite a deep surface, right? It seems very deep. But really speaking though, is when you look a little bit, you know, I'm the conscious being, unfathomable. So the ideas, it's very limited. So even though somebody say it seems it's something so deep to look beyond, but I, the conscious being, is so unfathomable, no matter how thick it seems the ideas of the world are, or the manifestation of the world, it's nothing compared to the space. Like, for instance, take the hugest galaxy, right? What is it compared to the infinite space? Nothing. It's a speck. So all the ideas, everything I hold on to compared to the conscious being behind it, infinite, unchanging compared to some ideas like this. And all those ideas I have, in a moment they're gone, right? The whole world seems upside down, seems there's so many problems. Then I go to sleep, deep sleep. Where is that whole thing? It's gone, right? Or I'm feeling very disturbed, everything. You take a cup of coffee or tea, you sit down as you're drinking it. For a few moments, at least it's gone. Where is it? It's nothing. So the whole noise we make, this whole world, the actual presence that is in and through everything, and everything else is nothing compared to it. But we make huge thing out of it, like this. Huge, huge thing. Very interesting. So, in this way. So, the one who has the viveka, then yasmat parasmat, from the supreme. Beyond this, there you will not find anything beyond this. It is in and through everything. It is what's behind everything. There's not something else. You won't find something outside of it. Vibhoho, of the vibhu, the all-pervasive. And actually, Vishnu means all-pervasive. It doesn't mean a certain deity. Later, this is added for personification, for a way for people to think about. But really, Vishnu means all-pervasive. Or also, vibhu is vividam bhavati, that which becomes many, appears as many, right? So, the consciousness, I'm a conscious being, all my experiences are the consciousness appearing as many, like this. Same one appearing as many, same thing. There's Swami Bhavanandaji, he comes to our air every year, he travels all around. He tells that one time he was staying somewhere, and he always travels place to place in India and around the world, stays devotees' houses, gives talks. So he was somewhere where it's very cold, and so the host took him and got him boots and heavy jacket, everything, because, you know, he doesn't have the proper clothes of the place. So when the teenage daughter came home and said, "Oh, where'd you get those fancy boots and jackets, Swamiji?" So he said, Shri Krishna gave to me. He said, no, I know, my mom must have taken and gotten for you. He says, no, it's Krishna. No, it's my mom. Well, if I see it as your mom giving to me, now your mom, I'm going to see her more dear to me, and I'm debtor to her compared to the other people that come. So now what's going to happen to me? Now I'm going to start narrowing my vision, and I'll have a preference. This person, other person I went to, they didn't give me something. So what's going to happen? So, and where did it all come from originally? Where is all this tira from? It's from Krishna. So I see it just as Krishna gave me. That's it. And so our vision is totally the opposite, meaning same vision, but it's from the opposite side. When he had the stroke and he couldn't walk and he couldn't speak clearly, he said, "Master," Swami Shivananda took away his legs, took away his voice. Comes from there and goes back to there. That simple. Right? A friend of mine, when his guru left his body, he said, yeah, he came from God and went back to God. Like this. So in this way, seeing that all pervasive in and through everything, instead of our limited view like this, to expand it. So, see if any other important points here we can discuss. Oh yeah, there is a very nice thing about this type of upasana too, this thing, is what happens is, when you have a form that you worship, or a specific temple, specific place. I like to go to Uttarakashi, and there I feel the presence like this. So, place or specific time. This is a holy time. So now I can feel the presence, or this deity, this form. What happens then is I want to make it pratyaksha, make it something in front of me that I can limit in something. Directly experience. But here, this one takes paroksha, that one which is beyond the vision, right? Beyond paroksha, beyond what can be grasped by the senses, and makes it available to the senses. So of course, if you see the deity and you feel that's the presence of God, okay, you made the God be pratyaksha. But it's a very limited pratyaksha. This makes the full pratyaksha, all everything that comes in through the senses, be the paroksha. You bring from the paroksha that which cannot be experienced by mind, by the senses, be fully experienced by the senses, because everything you experience is that alone. So everything you see is that. So then it brings it. One other thing it does, it simplifies things so much. If the God is beyond everything, simplifies everything so much. This person does something, I'll be very angry. Well, that one is because of Krishna. Or whatever name you want to give the God, doesn't matter. Ishvara, Dakshinamurti. That one is that manifestation. That one doing something very nice, good. That's this one. So it simplifies so much. We talked about in the previous verse also beyond cause and effect. It is the cause and is the effect, so then what's the problem? So it helps to make things so simple. That's why people that have simple, pure devotion, life is so simple then. Even if they don't see the vision that there is just the Brahman, just that, still makes it so simple that anything, any problem isn't as much a problem anymore, because that is also manifestation. That one, it's that one, done, simple. So this is a wonderful thing about, and when we look at something, when you have, you have something you want to fix, or some problem, you have to break it to components to look, because if it's too complex, you can't really, hard to do it. You break it down to steps. This is one nice thing Vijayji, he likes to point out, that in Vedanta, you take the things and you simplify into binary steps. Binary things, binary, very easy. So here it just breaks everything into very simple, binary. And then again, as we mentioned a little earlier, then also makes the drikdeshya so much easier. There's conscious part, drik, there is the other part, which we say the drishya, the drik is behind that drishya, but it's much easier to do the viveka then. But it really simplifies so much like this. So this is another important point here that this helps to point out. So in any case, this verse is brought in like this because here all the Vedantic part was talked about, and then somebody will say, well, how do I really access in this Maya you talked about is just so thick and overwhelming, even though we spent, that verse talked about something as Maya, and we spent weeks on end discussing. It takes a lot to see beyond it. So how do I loosen its grip so I can look at it more clearly? So this vision, if every day I take just some time, slowly, slowly expand my vision in this way, see that it's in and through everything and behind me, then it slowly helps more and more too. It's the building blocks of everything, and then everything that is the bhutas, then it's the what is built by the bhutas, the bhautikas, the conglomerates that are made from the base elements, and also that builds up myself and the consciousness behind it. That's also part of it. It's not a separate thing. So then it just makes it that simplified. I keep looking. That helps to slowly, slowly simplify the things. And then we go through smoother, and then we can really look more deeply into what's being pointed out like this. And what happens is this vision, then we say this is the vision of the rishis, right? The vision of jnanis. This is how they see things, not any different. Just like when you wake up from the dream, then you see you are in and through everything behind the dream. If you look into it, right? I just had this dream and this happened that, but if I think about it a little bit. So it's their vision. And for us that we're looking into, this is a vision that we strive towards with the Vedantic understanding. It's our nididhyasanam, to see the one is through everything. Through understanding now, not just through just a... Because what happens is, for somebody who hasn't studied Vedanta, this is the upasana. So upasana, I superimpose an idea. Because what happens when you have the deity in the temple, you superimpose the idea. This is the God. This is Lord Shiva. This is Ma Durga. We superimpose. This is the Universal Mother, and I prostrate and I offer to her. So I'm superimposing the idea. It's an idea. It's a stone, but I superimpose like this. So I superimpose the God is the one who's in it or behind everything. So that's the Upasaka will do this. Stunta Vedanta, though, already different, becomes the Didhyasanam. Because I understand there's the one conscious being, and I understand that just the mind is superimposing things on, and the consciousness, the one behind the mind, meaning that one consciousness behind everything. So then it becomes Nididhyasanam for the, which is different, because Nididhyasanam, learning to see something from that angle from understanding, because I've already looked into and understood it, not just superimposing an idea. So we can do sometimes as Upasana and sometimes as Nididhyasanam. And then the Jnani, we say this is how they see the things. For them, this is how they see. It's not an effort putting into that like this for us. Because of the other habits, then slowly have to learn to see in a different way so that this becomes more established. The other habits aren't the ones who are taking over all the time. Like this. So this is this verse, which was put afterwards as, okay, you want Maya's too thick, can't see through here. Here's a good way to help to loosen it up so you can see through it. And try, when you get really caught up in the things, that moment you can't. After you cool down a little bit, then just bring this vision to your mind. After you cool down a little, and then see, wow, I was all caught up in that, but how simple it is when I look like this. And then the more you look into that, the easier not to be as caught up in all the stuff. Because that stuff is endless, endless. Right? Maya Zanir Vachaniya, you cannot get to the base of it no matter how much. This problem, I'll get to the base. Where did it start from? You'll never get to the base. Anything in the world, you know, we have to take care of things, do our duty and fix and go through things smoothly, take care of others, yes. But can never totally get everything in place. And that's okay because you can't. That's Maya. Anir Vachaniya can't be totally put in place, can't be totally understood. So then we just do that and look at something, you know, it doesn't have to be. It just has to be, you know, we have to accept and see beyond and then let Maya just play around but not disturb us. It doesn't become Maya for us anymore, it just becomes Leela like this. So that's this verse. Let's conclude here for today. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So next week will be the last class in our series. We'll finish our study at Dakshinamurti Stotram. We have one verse left, and this is what's the Palashruti, what is the result, which is interesting. Usually when a stotram is in praise of a certain deity. And then what happens is, then if you do this, you will get, you know, this health, and you will have this wealth, and you'll go to the heaven, and things like this, it'll say. Here it gives the same, very wisely gives, but it gives the Vedantic vision of what you can get by really understanding of it, which, you know, is the self, the knowledge of self-freedom from this. So that's given in there. That's the last verse in order to go together with how these are done. So that'll be next week. Then I'm going to go to Swami Tatvinananji's giving the 5-week Vedanta course. I'm fortunate. The main lectures I've been listening to. So I'll go last 2 weeks so in person. Afterwards, we'll see. We'll do something else. My general plan is we'll do something shorter until after the new year. And then after the new year, I'd like to start the Dukkhin Upanishad study, which I've wanted to do for a long time. So we'll discuss that more later. But that, I think, would be very nice to do. So we can discuss more. So before we go, any questions or confusions? After this, what confusion? Yes.
At this moment.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit confused when you were talking about elementals and elements. Just a quick...
Sure. The elements are the five elements which build up everything, right? Five basic elements. Elementals, things that are made out of those elements.
Okay.
So the building blocks, and then what's made out of the building blocks too. It's not that the building blocks came out of the Ishvara and Ishvara is manifest in them, but then when the sun and moon are created and all the other objects in the world, now it kind of changed into something else. No, it's still the same thing. It hasn't changed.
So the elements make the elementals.
Correct. They combine and make up everything else. And actually, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, where this is taught, says akashat etasmat, from that Brahman with Maya, akasho jayate, akashat vayu, vayu ragni, agni rapa, says like this, down to this. When it gets to prithivi, to earth, prithivya oshadaya, from the prithivi, earth, come the plants. Oshadayo, and from that comes the food. Annam anat purusha, from that comes the human person. So it's saying, okay, these. And then from here also the element, the objects come and the living beings come. But in order to
so
show
all those things, the plants, the food, those are all
elementals, yeah. But the moment you have any object, it's made out of those five things. You know, if you'll take modern science out of certain, you know, other things it's built, right? Basic building blocks, it's not something separate, right? So whatever's behind the building blocks is behind what everything else is also, like this. So like that. So that's why it says the elements and the elementals and the conscious being. Same one is behind all, like this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, very good. So have a wonderful week. We'll meet next time then, okay?